to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, I'm going to start to read from verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have been looking at spiritual power. And in the morning, we looked at the revelation of power. Now we want to look briefly at the challenges of power. The challenges of power. Because here we have the disciples. Further back in Matthew chapter 10, our Lord Jesus Christ sent them out two by two. And he said to them, Wherever you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes. Freely you have received, freely give. And if you read the report in Luke chapter 10, the Bible says when they came back, they were so excited that they said to him, Lord, even the devils, we are subject to us in what? In your name. We couldn't believe it. Everywhere we went, we said to the demon possessed, come up. And they just jumped out. So now, Jesus goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And the man brings his son. And they hurry to meet him. What's the problem? Well, you know, this child has been sick. Oh, yeah, we did it before. Bring him to us. Okay, you lunatic, come out. They go to Matthew. What's going on? Okay, Matthew say, okay, I'll do it. I say, come out. Well, maybe we call Judas. You see, he's keeping the money. And Judas is like, I told you guys it wouldn't work. It's okay, let's call Philip. I know Philip is deep. And he goes, yeah, Roma mama mama, shukuri mama mandoria. Come out. If you've been there, you know how humiliating it can be. A preacher told me a story. He said he went somewhere and he preached and he prayed, and people were getting off the wheelchair. Everybody, you know. And he was saying, "Wow, this is awesome. This is awesome." And then he comes back to Lagos. He puts up an announcement on the radio. He puts up banners all over Lagos. "Bring the deaf, the blind, the lame, the sick. Bring them, you'll see the power of God." Then he invited his minister friends. He said, "Oh, you just come and see what God is doing now." And then on that day, he preached. Then he prayed. He said, "Okay, in the name of Jesus, all you blind people, open your eyes. You lame people, get up and walk. Any blind man seeing here?" "My friend, get up. What are you waiting for? Get up. I say, get up." Then he said, he told us his story himself. He said, "Okay, we'll do this again, okay? I tell you, we'll do it again. And this time, we're going to do it differently. Now, Pastor John is here. He'll pray for the blind eyes. Then there's Pastor Paul here. He's praying for the deaf ears. And then there is Pastor Peter here. He's going to pray for the cripple, okay? All right, let's pray." As soon as they started praying, he ran from the stage. He ran. He was so humiliated. That's exactly what happened to the disciples. It's not working today. It's not working today. Lord, why? It didn't work today. It didn't. How many times have you been there? It didn't work today. You know, the last time my child had a fever, I just said, "You fever before I get there." The child was well. But it's not working today. It's not working. Why isn't it working? But Pastor, you know, I went somewhere, you know, In fact, the man had died. And they were crying so much. And I said, "My friend, get up." He just got up. But Pastor, I even followed them to the mortuary. The man is still dead. It's not working. Why isn't it working? You know, if you've been there before. They invited me when we were students in the university to come and pray for a professor with cancer. Another professor invited us. So we went there. After we finished praying, I said to the man, "God will raise you up in 3 days. When I got to my room, I said, "Lord, have mercy upon me." "Lord, have mercy upon me, oh. In 3 days, they will label me a false prophet." Have you had discussions in power? I prayed like I never prayed before. I wasn't thinking about the man. I was thinking about myself. I said, "Lord, just have mercy upon me. The next time I won't open my mouth too wide." Oh, God was gracious to me. In 3 days, the man had a miracle. But do you know what happened? Every morning, I was living in UCH. I would wake up. I would go to the gate of UCH. All the people waiting to bed. I'd be praying for them. Nothing is happening. Why isn't it working? How about you worked so well the other day? Why isn't it working? People tell me, say, "See, every time I go to these crusades, it's not the people who are giving testimony. It's the people who are going home the same." Why isn't it working? Why? You know what some people do? They get to a place like that, you know, and some people are going home the same. Say, "The power is not working here." I say, "What happened to your own? Why are you talking? Who do you expect to bring the power?" So you sit at home comfortably, eating and dining as you like. And then you come expecting somebody to bring the power. Why didn't you bring? If you brought one, it would have worked. That's how some people are going from church to church. The power is not the work here. I look for another place. I say, if you brought some, it will work. Everybody who is Christian and understands and knows and has experienced God's power, you will always come here. Why didn't it work today? Why didn't it? Because you see, the power, it belongs to God. That's the problem. It's not ours. If it's ours, we'll bring it from our pocket anytime we like. But what did Jesus come here to show? What he came here to show, he showed in the graveyard of Lazarus. Okay? In John chapter 11. Martha says to him, Lord, don't bother to go to the grave. He's been dead for years, for days. By now he will be what? Stinking. Jesus said, come show me where they lay, you laid him. And the Bible says Jesus comes there for the first time in his ministry. We heard Jesus pray. Do you know that Jesus didn't pray in ministry? He never saw, you know, this is the way we do our own. You see, now when they now bring the sick person, then we start. That's how we do. But when they bring the man, Jesus said, come out. Come out. Come out. Come. And then the disciple says, why can't we do it like that? Lord, our own isn't working like that. And Jesus teaches them a fundamental lesson in the exercise of spiritual power. He said, you see, this kind. What does that mean? It means some kind. Some kind, you can get away with it. But this kind. Now, he's beginning to tell you that, you see, you can have anointing for some kind. Okay? He said, but this kind. You go to dig a little deeper. The challenges of power. Because the power does not belong to us. Jesus spoke at the graveyard of Lazarus. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. How often? Always. Now, that's a function of the relationship. It's a function of the relationship. I thank you. You hear me always. The only reason why I am praying here is because of these people. So that they will know that you sent me. That's all. He wasn't praying for Lazarus. And then the Bible says, having said that, he turned around and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that dead came forth. Jesus had an unbroken relationship with the Father. That every time he sent a signal up, the answer came down. And then he comes to the disciples and he says, this kind, it doesn't come unless by prayer and what? Fast. Now, you see, people read that some funny way. You see, you know the way we read it? So, okay, prayer and fast. So, they start to fast. They start to fast. And they finish. They now find someone, come out. And the person looking at them. I thought Jesus said he's going to come out by prayer and fasting. What they didn't read is that it's not that prayer and fasting that makes it come out. Anybody can do that. It's not the prayer and fasting that makes it come out. It's the faith. It's not the prayer and fasting. If it's prayer and fasting, anybody can do that. Anybody can pray and fast. But you see, a lot of people start the fast in unbelief. They end it in unbelief. Because you see, faith is a revelation of God. It's a revelation of God. You cannot have faith. You cannot trust someone you don't know. So Jesus is saying, when you pray and you fast, okay, faith grows in your heart. And what is faith? Faith is the knowledge of God. That's why the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. You see, when you fast and you meditate on the Word of God, your awareness of who God is, your awareness of how God functions should grow so that you can trust God better. Okay? That's why some years ago, I was counseling with a couple. They had difficulty. The marriage was at the brink of collapse. And I listened to the wife because she was the one who came to me. And after listening to her, I said to her, this marriage has some poo-poo. Forgive the word. You know what poo-poo is? Shit. You see? So it has some poo-poo. But somebody must clear it. You know how you come to a place that's a mess and everybody is going, nobody wants to clear it. I said, there's a mess here. I said, your husband, the way I see him, is not prepared to clear it. So if you want this marriage to work, you have to clear it. She said to me, me too, I'm not ready to clear it. I said, in that case, let's consider the marriage what? Over. She said, no, it cannot be over. I will fast and pray. I said, okay, fast and pray for as much as you like. Okay? Fast and pray as much as you like. But so long as nobody comes to clear this, okay? You see, Jesus didn't fast and pray in heaven. He came down to clear. He came down to clear. You got to jump in to clear. He said, somebody who has faith that this thing will turn around, that's why they enter there to clear. I said, if your faith is just to stand outside, Ramamama Shandaraba, he said, jump in. He said, no. Shurima mama. I said, okay. So just continue. Just continue. All that thing you are doing will amount to what? Nothing. Faith, fasting, and prayer must bring faith. But you see, a lot of people stop there. Some people know that prayer and fasting leads to a deeper understanding of God, and then that understanding gives you more confidence in God. But you try that, it still doesn't work. It still doesn't work. Because you see, you and I can come here, we look at this church, we look at this Milton Keynes, we said, what we're doing here needs a bigger space. You know, we need to go into a bigger place. And then we start to fast and pray, you know. And then we get a bigger place, but then we still have few people. And we said, oh, if only, you know, we can get one or two miracles, okay, the church will fill up. People will hear of it, and then they will start coming because miracles are taking place here. So we start praying, oh, Lord, give us at least one or two miracles. Give us one or two miracles. And then, fortunately, one or two miracles happen. Then people are coming. Is it a bad idea? Is it a bad idea? It's not a bad idea. But now, notice now, nobody really cares for those people who are sick. No. They just want to use them to fill the church. It's not really that they care for them, for the needy. It's not really that they have any compassion for the needy. But they want to use them. You know, that's why we need miracle, so that people can come. You know? That's why faith comes only by hearing. It doesn't work by hearing. No. Faith comes by hearing. But it doesn't work by hearing. The Bible says in Galatians 5:6, it said, faith works by love. You see? Faith comes by hearing as you study the word of God. But it doesn't work by hearing. You see? The disciples were looking at this man. Oh, thank God Jesus is in here. We're going to show him when he comes back. That we too can produce miracles. They weren't thinking about the man and his story. They didn't have any compassion on him. They were just thinking about what they would show Jesus when he comes back. You know? There are many people. The motive for wanting to demonstrate God's power has nothing to do with compassion. At all. At all. Because they've seen people whose ministries demonstrate God's power, they see how people revere them. And they're like, ah, if only miracles can happen with me too. When I pass, they say, man of God. Oh, man of God. He touched my hand today. Hallelujah. So, when people are coming, you put your hand on, man of God, please bring out hand, touch me small. There is no compassion. Faith comes by hearing. The disciples come frustrated. Why does God allow that? Because, you see, he wants you and I to go to the next level. You see, you can't just stay there when you did something and you're not even sure what you did, you know, and then something happened and you're so excited. Ooh, you know. Say, Brother John, don't call me. I'm apostle. Why are you not in church yesterday? That time I just waved hand at these people, just fell down. Apostle. Not call me brother again, no. Before I get annoyed, I wave hand and you just fall down yourself. The Lord always wants us to move to the next level so that we understand that the power of God is not for the glory of man. No, it's not for the glory of man. That's what Jesus was saying. Oh, no, Jesus said, I've been here long enough for you to understand. You need to understand how God's power works. He says to them, you see, faith. He said, if you have it, tiny like that, nothing shall be what? Impossible. So now you say to yourself, so what do I really have in this my head? It definitely can be faith because Jesus said, if you have it tiny, tiny, nothing will be impossible. That's when you start to examine what you really have in your head. You know, say, what kind of faith do I really have? You know, and you know, sometimes when you really examine your faith, you know you really don't have any faith. You know? You see, what you are doing is you believe something and then you have contingencies. You know the way we all do? Just in case, just in case it doesn't work, you know? You know, I always tell the story of this group of Christians. You know, they are planning an outdoor evangelistic crusade. You know? And it was threatening to rain. And then they say, you better pray that this rain will not fall. And then they prayed, Lord, we have an evangelistic crusade outside. We command that the clouds disperse in the name of Jesus. And then one of them says, I think I better bring in my laundry. Just in... Okay, so now, what have they done? They have just done had a religious exercise. Because, you see, they couldn't he couldn't risk his laundry. You know, he couldn't risk his laundry. He didn't have faith to say, after all, what is the worst thing that can happen to my laundry? I can keep awake at night, ironing everything dry. You see, you have to risk your laundry if you have faith. But you see, if you don't have faith to risk your laundry, then you don't have any faith. You don't have any faith. You see? By the time you start examining your faith, then you know that a lot of times you really don't have any faith. You know, you have all kinds of contingencies. You know, the Lord has convinced me that Mary is my wife. So you go to Mary. She says, well, I don't know about that. God hasn't told me any such thing. You go next week. Well, I told you, I really haven't heard anything. Priscilla. God is speaking to me now. Leave this Mary alone, John. There are many people, they don't have any faith. They don't have any faith to talk about. He couldn't say, look, if it's either this Mary marries me, I'll remain single. Then you know they have faith. They have faith. But if they talk to her for 1 week and she's not, and say, no, you know, maybe that Mary's thing is just me. You know, people have a way of rationalizing. Say, maybe it's me. You know, God is speaking somewhere else, John. Let us go. Jesus said, if you have faith, tiny, tiny, nothing shall be what? Impossible to you. Do you know why he said that? It's because when you have faith, real faith, you will not be afraid. You will not be afraid. You know, if you have faith, you won't worry. You won't worry. But you see people who have supposedly faith, they're believing God for their healing. They're so worried. So if you have faith, you shouldn't worry. If you have faith, you shouldn't fear. If you have faith, you'll be so confident. No matter what is happening. Because you see, you know that the God you are dealing with is what we call the ab initio God. The God who at the beginning. See, the Bible says, in the beginning. Who? When you have an faith in the ab initio God, then, see, you know that all things are possible. Because there was nothing to start with. Everything came from God. You see, you just have to have faith in the God of the beginning. You see, a lot of people worry in the middle. I say, but go to the beginning. You will have faith. Because there was nothing at the beginning until God. The challenges of faith can only be met by two things. An increasing knowledge of God and an increasing understanding and experience of love. You know, many people don't, you know, our hearts are so hard. You know, and that's why, you see, when you understand that, you begin to sing that song, melt my heart, oh God. Melt is too hard. is to, that's why sometimes when you see people that are very vengeful, you know, you do them something, they do you back, and they're so hard. They say a lot that is Christian is unkind. Yes. You know? So if they witness to you and you didn't get converted, and tomorrow they heard you broke your leg in an accident, you say, you see now? That's what happens when you don't respond to God. When they say, go and visit him, no need. He's learning his, yeah. Many people are very unkind. Christian, but very unkind. You know? You see, you and your husband, you know, he did something wrong to you, and it didn't really pain you. Then he's coming back. He had flat tire in the middle of nowhere. Then he brought out the tire. He rolled, he trekked 3 miles to the garage and 3 miles back. And as he's telling you, he said, God has shown you something today. You know, many people are basically unkind. You know, they will judge you, condemn you, and they're so happy that God is punishing you. Until you go to God and say, this, my heart, is too vengeful. You know, it's too hard, it's too unsympathetic. Oh, God, show me compassion. So that you see, when your husband is telling you that story, how he trekked, how he suffered, you say, oh, Lord, my dear, oh, I'm so sorry. No. You can't get there. You know. And then when your friend comes, say, guess what God did today? He taught my husband a lesson. You know, he think he can joke with me. Now he has learned his lesson. The next time, you know. And then the next time he quarrels, he said, remember what you tracked. You tracked 3 miles the last time. This time you tracked 20 miles. If you and I want to understand God's power, we must understand compassion. Because you see, the Bible always said that Jesus had what? Compassion upon them. He said, I have compassion on the multitude. They are like sheep without a what? A shepherd. You know, I have compassion on them. You know, compassion, compassion, compassion. You can't bring the power. When he got to the grave of Lazarus, the Bible said Jesus what? Wept. Oh. Has your heart melted? You know, is it still so strong, unsympathetic? You know, you can't enter into the pains of the people. So that when you go to God, when you go to God, you say, Lord, no. No. I can't forget an experience of this I have. Pardon me, this is personal. There's this fine sister. Okay, she had a first child, a girl, a second one, a girl, third one, a girl. You know the way we are in Nigeria. You have to mix them up. That's the way we are. That's the way we are. So, you know, she got pregnant the fourth time. It aborted. And they came and told her it was a boy. You know? So, you know the way it would be. Lord, if it's a girl, it will come through. The boy got aborted. You know? This sister that used to laugh and smile, always radiant. A gloom descended on her. A gloom just descended on her. Then one morning, she came to visit me at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I looked at her. She was almost unrecognizable. So as soon as she left, I went in and held her. I said, Lord, it's not fair. Give this woman a boy. You can. And God said, okay, tell her she'll have a boy. She did. In a year's time, she had a boy. See, when your heart is drawn there, the power word comes down. That's what Jesus was telling these people. He said, how long will I be with you? Don't you understand how this thing works? When you fast and pray, it's not about the problem. It's about you. So that your heart will what? Melt. So that your understanding of God and his ways will grow. And then you'll have more results. You have more results. God allows us to face challenges in the exercise of spiritual power so we can come up. You know, nobody stays where they are. God gives us challenges to come up. Come up, come up. Okay? So perhaps all the miracles you've ever experienced in your prayer is all about in your life. Okay, it's time to come up now and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray now that the miracles will start happening in this church. That's what Catherine Kuhlman said. She said that she used to just preach salvation, but people were getting healed, you know, delivered from their oppression. And then they'll come and be given to, he never prayed for any sick person. But when the testimony started coming, then she started praying. Because, you see, there were people who were praying. You know, some people go to church and say, well, miracles are not happening in that place. I say, who is going to pray for it? I go to your bed now, a corner, kneel down and say, Lord, we want to see miracles. We want to see the compassion of Jesus released into the lives of people. You know? And so every time you come, you're expecting something to happen. A lot of people come to church expecting nothing. You know, well, I hope the pastor has prepared, though. Then they leave. I don't think pastor prepared well today. The message is just going up and down and right and left, you know. That's all their own story. Criticize the whole thing and analyze it. They brought nothing to church. Some people are even worse. They bring devils. They're coming from adultery, fornication, cheating, drug trafficking. So all those demons follow them to church. When you say hallelujah, it's okay. One demon gone, remaining 100. By the time the fire choir of Queen is singing, there are still a few demons left. So pastor still doesn't have anointing to preach. But can you imagine if everybody who came with something? They brought an anointing with compassion. Wow! The power of God will be moving everywhere. And that's why when the people understand the workings of God's power, they change their church. It's not the pastor. Pastor is only one man now. You know? Only one man. He can only bring his own contribution. That's why Benny Hinn said once that he had a convention in Atlanta. And he was still in the hotel when they phoned him that many people have got off their wheelchair in the stadium. The crusade had not, There are people praying. The people who wanted God to meet needs in the lives of people. There are many people who come to church, they haven't asked God for anything to happen that day. They just came to church to see what can happen. And I keep asking them, from who? From only the pastor and his wife? And yet you will call them at midnight, like one man told me, that one of his members called him, Pastor, come, oh, my wife has locked me up in the bathroom. So when all of you are calling the pastor, when is he going to pray? Another one said, Pastor, you can't be sleeping, and my wife is sick, and I can't sleep. Pastor, you must sleep. You keep awake with us. It's about time to understand 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go very quickly to that. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 26. He said, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? Edify. In other words, the Bible is saying, bring something to church. Bring something when you are coming. Eh? When you are coming to church, bring something. Bring something. Then the fellowship will be so enriched. The power of God will be everywhere because everybody brought something from home. They stayed up in the night praying for barren wombs to receive strength to have children, for the oppressed to go free, for the sick to be healed, for the sinners to be saved. That's how a revival bursts out in the congregation because everybody is coming. Because they've prayed, they have expectations. We've been in a revival before. Sometimes, even before we preach, you say, okay, sinners, we don't have time to waste. Just run, run, run. You see them run. We haven't even preached. Run, and they're running, they're running. Why? People have prayed. We prayed them all into heaven. That's what changes a church. Because, you see, God has people who have need. But he doesn't have many people who have compassion. So he doesn't know where to send them. But you see, if a congregation is filled with people who have faith, they are studying the word of God, they're learning a lot about God, their faith and understanding of God is growing, and their compassion is growing. Oh, Lord, that community will be powerfully transformed. They will become a center, magnetic center, for the needy. Because God will be sending people there. See, God's power is not for decoration. You see, Jesus gave us power at Pentecost so that we can go into the world and change lives. You know, and meet needs. Because the Bible says everywhere he went, he was what? Do you know that song? Anywhere he went, he was doing good. The mighty healer, he healed the leper. When the cripples saw him, they started walking. Anywhere he went, my Lord was doing good. That's exactly what he wants us to do. Everywhere you go, you know, some people don't need a miracle from heaven. They need miracle from you. Oh, yes. In those days when we were in the university, we were in a revival, we used to have a hall prayer meeting. And the way it was conducted was that people distributed prayer requests. And then when they wrote their prayer requests, they don't pray for their own prayer requests, they pass it around. And one brother got a prayer request. On it was written, brethren, pray for me. I need £5. It was pounds in those days in Nigeria. I need £5 to travel to home. They say my father is not well. And then the brother that got that prayer request, he was about to pray for it, and the Holy Spirit said to him, so you want to pray for this too? When you have £5 in your hand. You know? Just tell them God has already answered. Hey, now. £5 is in your pocket. You want to pray? That is it. You know, your heart of compassion. You have become God's answer to other people's what? Prayers. Yes. Yes. Let us understand God's power. That's why he's empowering you. There are many people who pray, Lord, prosper me, prosper me, prosper me. And the Holy Spirit is like, so what will you do if I prosper you? You see, well, you see, Lord, those I came to meeting kings with, they're living in the north side where things are good. I'm still living on the south side. I hope it's the correct. Yeah, no, no. So in America, it's always the north side that's richer than the south side. You know,
What do they need prosperity for? Lord, I've been driving this this Volkswagen Beetle, you know. I need to be going on Lexus, you know, to show that God is There's nothing about compassion for the needy. No. There's nothing about God's answer to other people's prayers. And I always ask them, I say, so you think God will leave heaven and come and give you money for Lexus? Eh? Think about it. Think about it. He will leave heaven far away just because you want to buy Lexus. You know, he must have some better purpose than that. So you see, if you don't have any purpose for the prosperity you desire, how can God come into it? No vision for the prosperity. A lot of people don't know how to bring in God's power. There's no vision for the money beyond consumption. Yes. No vision. So how will that prayer be answered? There's no purpose. Challenges in the exercise of power. Remember what Jesus said. If you have what? Tiny faith. Nothing shall be what? Impossible. So, you and I need to get to work on this. I just have to figure out how faith and love connect to power. Mm-hmm. I just have to figure it out. Because the more I understand it, the more the experience of God's power I have. May the Holy Spirit help you today. And you know, Jesus is the personification of God's love. And that's where that understanding begins. You just have to understand what brought Jesus into this world. This love. So that until your heart begins to be overflowed by God's love, you really can't do much for God on the earth. You just, and you know the people who know whether you have love in your heart is the people in your household. You know, a lot of people, they have love. You know, some people will come and be meeting them. Is that man your husband? You say yes. Oh, he's so wonderful. He's so kind. Then you go home, say, Benga, these wonders. This wonderful thing everybody knows. Please, Benga, let us see it in this house. Everywhere I go out, they say, Benga is wonderful. Benga is wonderful. Benga is wonderful. Only us here that don't know it. That is it. There are many people. All their good is done outside. All their good is done outside. You know? You see some women, you know, they go to a church potluck where they're serving food. Brother John, have you eaten? They quick, Brother John, yes, they go and get. Then they come to their husband. He's serve yourself. I don't know why you're sitting down. They say, everybody, serve yourself. Please, this is not house, so please go and Brother John, have you eaten? You see, they kept the house there to test everything you're learning. That's what marriage is, you know, and home. They test. If you say you're grown in love now, it's your wife and children that you know, or your husband and children. You know, if it's like in Nigeria, your driver, your housemaid. You know, they may call your housemaid, and like I tell them in Nigeria, they said, do you know that your madam is now thoroughly born again? You say, hey, madam. He said, we never see him. Madam born again never reach house. So. Let us pray. Just talk to God. You know, everyone desires God's power. Change my heart. Oh God,
Make it ever true, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart.